everyone. As always, it is an honor, it is a privilege, and it is truly my pleasure to stand before you this evening to once more present the word of our God. We thank those who are visiting us, and please know that you are our honored and esteemed guest. And for our brethren who were here earlier this morning and have returned this evening, thank you. Thank you for being here and always ready and willing to give our God our very best. Please open your Bibles to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter 3, where we will be reading verses 5 through 7. Ruth, chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap, at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Please bow with me in prayer. Our heavenly and majestic God, Father, may thy name forever be praised. May we always, Father, do so with holy lips as we present ourselves, Father, through the avenue of this prayer, seeking, Lord, to stand without shame, to stand in thee, Father, knowing that indeed thou art our rock of ages. Lord, we come to thee through the avenue of prayer, not because we are deserving or because we have done anything that is worthy of merit, Father. But we, Father, are able to do so through that precious blood of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, for whom, Father, we are truly, truly grateful. Father, as we continue to study thy word through the example of this union between Ruth and Boaz, how it is, Father, that thy providentially brought them together, and how, Father, they were able to create a dependable and durable godly home, Father, from which thy Son's lineage also came. We now, Father, seek to understand how, Father, that honoring parents, Father, came to play, how it played a part in this godly union, Father, and how it is important to always honor them, Father, regardless of the reasoning behind it, because we know that they are worthy of receiving such honor, for thou have bestowed it upon them. Forgive us, Father, when we have not followed thy commandments. Forgive us when we have not done what is right in thy sight. Forgive us, Father, whenever we have not brought honor to thee or to our homes, Lord. And please grant us the meekness, the humility, and the strength to learn from our faults so that we can always become better, so that we can continue to perfect our holiness in thy sight, and that we can continue to add oil to our lamps so that they can burn brightly before men. Father, this we pray in the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Without a doubt, the steeple found in the book of Ruth is that relationship between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. But it's amazing how Ruth and Naomi refer to each other as mother and daughter. They leave out the in-law part. They leave out the part where they were, as we would say, and I guess in a way that's grammatically correct, they were politically related, but not by blood. And yet, if we were not to know that Naomi was the wife of the deceased son to, Ruth was the wife of the deceased son to Naomi, we would indeed believe that here we are reading the story of a daughter and a mother, as the mother is counseling and guiding her daughter to find how to come into a relationship with a godly man and therefore create a godly home. We established this morning through scripture how it is that Naomi, being a solicitous parent, was able to provide the guidance necessary. How it was that she was able to give her daughter wise advice, and how she had earned that position by giving the example first and proving to Ruth how she had succeeded in finding herself a godly husband. She had extended that success by training her son in choosing a godly wife, which was in the form of Ruth. So now we once more see how Naomi had always relied upon the Lord. Remember that we were able to see through scripture at the end of chapter 2 how it is that it was Naomi who was able to immediately recognize God's work taking place. She was the one that was able to shed light, if you will, upon the mind of Ruth to see that it was God's hand that was now providing for their home, and his kindness and generosity was taking place. But we pause this morning our lesson or our thought, which we now pick back up tonight, by saying and commenting that nothing of what Naomi had done would have had any kind of effect had Ruth not listened to what her mother had to say. Have you ever met someone like that, or have you ever had to deal with a child that they come to you for advice and they ask for your advice? You tell them what you see or how you would handle such situation, but in the end, they end up still doing what they want to do. Oftentimes, this has happened to me in my own family, and I scratch my head and wonder, why didn't you ask me in the first place if you were always going to do what you wanted to do? You see, this is what would have happened if Ruth also would have done things her way. If Ruth would have gone to Naomi for advice, but then still have gone and followed through with what she wanted to do, well, then that defeats the purpose for seeking advice. Because the purpose of seeking advice is to ponder and to put into practice if it is applicable to that which we are doing. You see, when I was younger, I remember my mom used to always say something to me, and perhaps there is a way of appropriately saying it in English, but I'm going to roughly translate it from what she would tell me in Spanish. What my mother would always say is, he who heeds counsel gets to grow old. He who follows advice will reach old age. She would always counsel me that it is wise to learn to listen. And she would always remind me how it is that in James, the very first thing we are told by the brother of our Lord is that we have to be swift to hear, that we have to be ready and willing always to pay attention. We have to always be ready to listen and to find someone who is wise, who is experienced, that can give us sound advice because they have proven themselves to have done it in their own lifetimes. And this is why when we begin to see how Ruth is the example of honoring a parent. Because again, Ruth is listening to her mother-in-law as if it were her biological mother. She's respecting her. She's giving her her place. She's not asking her to stop meddling in her affairs. She's not snapping at her because it is her private life and it is her decision whether she wants to marry or not. She is not reacting adversely or reacting very defensively because she feels that Naomi is stepping out of line. We don't see any of those reactions. In fact, this begins when we see that Naomi was fully aware of what was taking place. Remember that we said that from the end of chapter 2 to the beginning of chapter 3, a nice time lapse had passed because they had reached the end of the harvest. By the time that we enter into chapter 3, verse 2, Naomi is letting Ruth know that of Boaz, he was going to be winnowing the corn that they had reaped. Well, that means then that the harvest was reaching its end, that he was celebrating a bountiful and blessed harvest and was enjoying and sharing with his employers this endeavor and this success. But what we have to think, brethren, and this is where we have to use our skills of inference, is how did Naomi know? How was Naomi aware of how Boaz would have a feast? How did she become aware that he would be staying there and ensuring personally that that corn would be roasted, that he would be caring for it, and that he would even spend the night there in the fields? Naomi wasn't working alongside Ruth. Naomi wasn't out there with the sickle gleaning. The only logical response that we find is that Ruth and Naomi spoke about these things. Ruth entrusted her mother. She had confidence in her, and she always sought her mother's advice. Everything that she had been doing up to now, even when she came, notice that in chapter 2, Naomi asks her, "Whose field did you go in to glean?" Ruth did not hold anything back. She did not keep it a secret. She did not do things behind Naomi's back. Rather, we see the honesty, the integrity, and the transparency from the relationship, or as we said this morning through Scripture, the bond of perfection between mother and daughter. She gave a name. She gave a location. She told her exactly everything that had happened. And based on the details of the information that Naomi received and that she would process, she was able to provide feedback that was wise and that actually helped Ruth reach an ultimate goal. So you see, brethren, the first thing we can see here is that to honor our parents is to have and use that bond of perfection that has been established. You see, when God gave Moses those commandments that we know as the Ten Commandments, of all those ten preliminary ones, there is only one where God equates to himself. There is only one that God uses a word that for the Hebrews, it was a word that was to be applied only to Jehovah God himself. And that commandment has to do with how we treat our parents. Notice that in the first commandment, God speaks about being honored. He speaks about his honor, and he speaks about the fact that because he is our God and our creator, we are not to have any other gods before him. But then he comes to the commandment having to do with father and mother. And that word honor, which is exclusive for him, he takes it and he says, the same honor you give me, bestow upon your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. No exceptions. I want to make a quick parenthesis here. Because there is no doubt that there are some bad parents. There is no doubt that there are negligent fathers and negligent mothers, even, sadly to say, within the church. But to you, child, the Bible says, honor him, honor her, because they are still your parents. What's incredible about Ruth is that she was not only honoring Naomi, but her parents unknowingly over in Moab were too being honored by her honesty, her integrity, and her humility. Because when the child is wise, the parents are praised. When the child lives in a moral life in an immoral world, that is accredited to the parent. Do we not say the child was raised right? Notice how even a wicked parent who had nothing to do with the rearing of that good child can be praised even though they don't deserve it. But the commandment isn't if they deserve it, if they are willing of it. No. Honor your father and your mother. Honor, remember, care for, love, obey. So we see, brethren, how it is that Ruth is this example. She exemplifies what it means to honor, and notice in what area, by informing her mother as to what relationships she was engaging in, about her daily day. She wasn't afraid or wasn't doing anything under the cover of night. Everything she did it honestly. She had nothing to hide from her mother. She had no reason to try to speak in circles because she didn't want to get caught. You see, if finding a person and becoming attracted to that person is natural, why do we often react like it is something that is wrong and we want to keep it hidden? We want to act like it's not happening. And what's worse is many times we want to hide it from our parents, who, by the way, already went through that experience and can recognize it, because we're embarrassed or we're ashamed. When in reality, like Ruth, we should take advantage of the opportunity and we should seek their guidance about the issue. We should seek and take into consideration that they have triumphed. We mentioned this morning. We mentioned that if we have parents who give us the example of a godly home, if they have parents who have shown us especially how they've been able to triumph and in the face of adversity, in the face of challenges in the form of problems, arguments, or shortcomings, if even in spite of all those things, they've come out stronger, they've learned from them, and they've been able to continue united in love, in that bond of perfection, why not heed to them and seek for advice? Why not go to them and ask them, please, give me an idea. How did you do it? What did you look for? What was it that made you know that this man or this woman was the half that would complete you? Please now go with me to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, beginning at verse 22. Proverbs 15, beginning at verse 22. Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season How good it is. Let me read verse 23 again to you. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good it is. Well, this right here is showing the dynamics between Ruth and Naomi. Naomi didn't speak when it was too soon. Naomi didn't wait until it was too late. She wasn't reactive, but she was proactive. But Ruth always spoke. Ruth always kept her mother informed of what was going on. Ruth always told her what had transpired throughout that day. How Boaz had treated her. How he had given her of his own food. How he had provided for her protection from the reapers that were there. A word spoken in due season. How good it is. Naomi was able to give wise advice because she had all of the information. You see, brethren, we have to understand something, and it has to be very, very ingrained in our minds. We cannot expect anyone, elder, preacher, deacon, faithful and spiritual member, we cannot expect them to give us good advice, sound advice, if we only give them parts and bits of the pieces of the story. Any advice that is based on only the fragments that you give them will be incomplete. Because it matters. It matters to have the whole story. Even the parts where you feel ashamed of speaking of. Even the parts where your shortcomings and your failures come to light. But if you want to make it right and you want to redeem that which you've done wrong, then you have to endure the shame. But don't keep those parts of the story out and only give the parts that are convenient to you. Because you're not going to give good, and you're not going to receive good advice. You're going to receive incomplete advice that can be hurtful to you and the other person involved. You see, Naomi was aware of everything that was happening. She knew that the harvest time was reaching its end. She knew what Boaz's plan was at the end of the harvest. She knew how he had been generously and protective of Ruth. She could tell from what Ruth would say and how Ruth would say it that there was an attraction there between these two people. She could tell by what Ruth would say about Boaz's kindness and generosity toward her. But at the same time, she would see her daughter as she was speaking these words, very likely how her eyes would brighten, how her mouth would even hurt from smiling the entire time. But she could tell from seeing the whole story, there is something there. And it's innocent, and it is good. Something has blossomed. God's plan is working. But what if Ruth were to keep out certain details? Say, for example, if Ruth were to say, yes, we're going to roast the corn tonight, but I don't think Boaz is going to be there. Well, notice the chunk of advice that Naomi gave that would have been left out. Well, if he's not going to be there, what point is there in telling her to anoint herself? What point is there in telling her how to go and approach him, to uncover his feet, to lay at his feet? To seek and tell him that they are close to kin. If she would have left that part of the story out because she was afraid that it was going to be late and that Naomi may think ill of it, that she might misconceive what was going on. So she was going to leave that part out because I don't want Naomi to have and to have a wrong judgment of what's going on. Well, then a key component of what made her marriage successful would have been left out. But instead, we see that Ruth trusted her mother's judgment. She trusted that her mother would be able to counsel her accordingly. So she didn't leave anything out. She honored her mother by seeking out her advice. She honored her mother because when we seek someone's advice, what we don't realize is that indirectly, we're actually exalting that person. Because if we trust them to give us good advice, that means that we see their fruit. fruits are good. It is our way of giving them their due honor. It is our way of holding up in high esteem as they should be. But you see, again, seeking advice is insufficient unless we are willing to meekly listen to the instruction that is given to us. We said this at the beginning, didn't we? And let's go very quickly to Proverbs 5. The fifth proverb, Proverbs 5, verses 1 and 2. Notice how this proverb begins. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. Notice how it begins. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding. There's a time to speak and there's a time to listen. Ruth had already spoken. Ruth had already told her mother everything. Now was the time for Ruth to listen to what her mother had to say. She didn't tell her to gossip. She didn't tell her just because she wanted to share with a friend what was going on, that they wanted to giggle behind closed doors. No. She told her because she was looking for advice. So because she was seeking advice, she did the most logical and wise thing to do next. Now came the time to listen. Not to argue. Not to counter-argue. Not to show adversity or to challenge the advice that is given. How sad it is that when we are trying to give advice to someone who actually asked for it, we have to tell them, listen, you are the one who came to me. Listen, if you didn't want to hear what I had to say, then you should have never come to me. That's not meekness. That's not humility. That's false humility. Because it takes humility to go and ask for advice. But godly humility continues in listening to what has to be said, even if you're afraid that you may not like what you are told. Imagine if Naomi would have told Ruth, this man is not good for you, Ruth. He is our closest kinsman, and I know the man he is. His reputation is not a good one. There are others who are more suitable for you to achieve a godly and joyful home. If that would have been Naomi's counsel to Ruth, because of what we've seen about Ruth, she would have listened to what her mother had to say. No matter how difficult and how painful it would have been. Remember, she trusted that Naomi was doing everything for her best interest. She was doing it with an unselfish heart. She was doing it because she was protecting her and doing that which was best for her. She believed these things. She trusted in them. So she listened. She listened to what her mother had to say. She paid close attention to what it was that was going to be advised. Because as we said, one of the traits that makes Ruth such an extraordinary person was her docility. Her docile nature. But we've also established that she was a woman of character. A woman of strength. Because although she was docile, Naomi failed in convincing her to go back home. She stood her ground when it was righteous. She stood her ground in integrity. But she listened. She knew that she needed the advice. She acknowledged that Naomi's wealth of wisdom and knowledge would be key if she were to succeed. And when she asked, she stopped speaking to hear, not in a defensive mode, not in a way where she was going to jump out at everything that was being said. But she actually listened because she knew that this person could be trusted to give good advice. even if it wasn't what I wanted to hear. You see, one of the reasons why many people don't ask for other person's advice is because they don't want to hear for someone to oppose them. They don't want to hear that it isn't the right choice. And yet, this is the very thing that can lead us to shame and to failure. Because if we are humble and meek, and we are to listen to those who do have their best interests for us, they will avoid us shame. They will avoid us pain. They will avoid us having to later have to explain how our pride got the best of us. So we see how Ruth not only spoke to her mother and told her everything, she listened when there was time. She sat, if you will, at her mother's feet to hear what she had to say. But again, it isn't enough just to ask for advice. It isn't enough just to listen to what has to be said. But for in order for that filial honor to give that person honor, we have to then trust and follow in that instruction. You see, before we get to the proverb, remember that our master said, "If you love me, do as I command you." Then he also said, "You are my friends if you do as I say." Notice that love and friendship are both countered on that trust. They're both anchored on the following of his instructions. If you love me, then you're not going to go against what I'm telling you because you're going to get hurt and that's going to bring me pain. If you trust me, then you're going to follow my instructions and together we're going to succeed, because then that shows that you too are a friend to me. And just as I've trusted you, you are now trusting me. That's what those two passages are saying. Notice that when it comes to obedience, when it comes to submission, to following the lead, we show both love and we show trust in that person. Naomi was doing it in the best interest of her daughter-in-law. "Shall I not seek rest for thee, my daughter?" Naomi's intentions weren't because she wanted to marry her off. Her intentions weren't so that her property can be given back to her. No, her intentions were because she wanted to stop seeing her daughter continue to be a widow. She wanted to stop seeing her daughter living as a foreigner in another land. She wanted to stop seeing her daughter taking on the burden of loneliness and pain that she had encountered because of the circumstances of life. She wanted to repay the kindness of her daughter because she knew that that's what was right. But the beautiful part is that Ruth knew this. She knew that her mother was doing it in her best interest. She knew that her mother was giving her advice for her good, for her strength, for her benefit. So she trusted her. She trusted her. And we read there in Ruth chapter 3, verse 5, in verse 6, "And Ruth did everything as her mother-in-law instructed her." She didn't just say to her mother-in-law, "I will do everything as you say." No, she actually did it. You see, when we read that passage, our mind should immediately go back to Genesis chapter 6. Because there we see another being who in the same way loved and trusted God. And Noah did everything as the Lord showed him and instructed him. We should remember how it is that God tells us himself that he only, Noah, found grace in his eyes. And here is why Noah found grace in his eyes. Because Noah was doing what the rest of the world wasn't. He was trusting in the Lord. Even though quite literally the entire world was against him, he was trusting in the Lord. And because he did that, he saved himself and his family. Now here we have Ruth doing the same. She's trusting in her mother. When she told her, "Your God shall be my God," she once again is proving that to be true. Because notice the suggestion that Naomi is giving her. She is telling her, now is the time to claim your right under the Levirate law. She's telling a Moabite woman to go and claim her right from an Israelite law. Think about that. Here is a woman who's expressed several times that she is a stranger in the land. And here is Naomi telling her, you have a right to claim that law. Under the law that we Israelites are bound to, we have a right to claim our nearest kinsman to redeem us from our widowhood. For a Moabite woman, during the times that they were living in, the times of the judges, this was no easy task. This was not an easy task. And yet Ruth did everything that her mother-in-law told her. She trusted her. She trusted and followed her mother's instructions exactly as they were given to her. Now let's turn to Proverb 19. Remember those words that my mother would say to me about following advice and becoming or reaching old age? Notice what Solomon has to say here to his son. Proverb 19, verses 20 and 21. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. He who heeds counsel grows old, my mother would say. Following advice, not every and all advice, no, following wise, sound, and godly advice. Well, isn't this what the promise is? Did not Paul quote this commandment in chapter 6 of Ephesians? Children, honor thy father and thy mother. Why? For this is the first commandment with promise. And what is the promise that is made to those who honor their parents? And notice how we are seeing that to honor means to follow their guidance, to listen to their guidance, to seek for their guidance. What did God promise? Long life. But the promise that God is making is not just that we're going to have a long life. No, a long, blessed life. Because we can grow old in bitterness. We can grow old in misery. We can grow old in an unlovable and unwanting situation. God isn't promising that. He's promising a life like that of King David, like that of Job, that when you read about when their time to pass came, the Bible says, and their days were long and full. In other words, they died satisfied. They died rejoicing because God had blessed them the entirety of their lives. Compare that to Jacob, who when he appears before Pharaoh, after learning that his son was alive, when he is asked about his age, Jacob's response is not only how old he was, then afterward he says, short and bitter have been your servant's days. Jacob's life was difficult. Why? Because he was always trying to use human wit to do things that God had already commanded him to do his way. Jacob was always quick to react instead of listening to advice. He was always trying to outwit as if he was always in a competition. But Ruth, notice how through the transgression of what the transpiring of what we've been reading, she starts off in a very bitter situation. And the more we read about her, the better her situation becomes. Notice how God was leading her out of her agony and pain and leading her toward success and glory. She sought for advice. She listened to what had to be advised. And she trusted it was good and followed it. What comes next is she succeeds. But we're not going to get into that tonight. Her mother, not her mother-in-law, because for Ruth, it was her mother, guided her. She looked out for her. She protected her, but she also provided for her. It takes a parent who's willing to teach and guide, and it takes a child who's willing to listen and follow to secure a godly home. Neither one is present, very, very minimal chance is there for success in a godly home. Now, my friend, you are here tonight because you trust that God's word is being taught in its purest form in accordance to His will for your benefit. And we thank you for that. I thank you for that. But now I encourage you, I advise you, seeing that you've come here to seek godly advice. Well, now I beseech you to listen to what God has to say, not this servant, but what God has to say. Take these words that you've heard tonight and apply them to yourself in a spiritual manner. Because you see, if you want to engage Christ as your husband, if you want to be able to build a durable, eternal home, those mansions that we sang about, and what we're about to sing, if you want to truly say that you are resolved, then listen to the proposition that the Father's making to you. Because what He is offering is not easy. And that's why He left us His inspired word. But we have to follow it. We have to listen to it. We have to heed its advice. Because Proverbs 19:21 says that the counsel of God, that will stand. So it is the counsel of God that we must seek to learn from. Like Ruth was able to secure her future by consulting her mother, listening to her mother, and trusting and following her mother's instructions. Notice how God is the same. We have to pray to our Father to consult Him and ask for wisdom. James chapter 1, verses 5 and forward. But when God answers through His inspired word, we have to be ready and willing to listen. For all scripture is inspired by God, and it is good to reprove, to teach, and correct. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. But then we have to abide by it. We have to apply it. James chapter 1, verse 19 and forward says that we have to receive in a spirit of meekness the word implanted into us, and let us be doers of the word, not simply hearers of it. We pray because we seek advice. We listen when we study the Bible. And when we obey the commandments of God, we're trusting and following Him. This is how we honor God. Are you honoring God? Are you honoring your Father this evening? Let me tell you that if you have yet to obey the gospel, you're not. But it isn't too late. Today, tonight, right now, you can begin to honor our Father. And He will lead you to your husband who is ready to redeem you from your state of misery. Don't you want to honor God tonight by obeying the gospel and the waters of baptism? If there is anyone here tonight ready to accept the Lord's gospel call of salvation, We invite you to come forward as we stand and sing that hymn of invitation.